بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد، قال الله تبارك وتعالى: الحج أشهر معلومات. وقال تبارك وتعالى: ولله على الناس حج البيت من استطاع إليه سبيلا ومن كفر فإن الله غني عن العالمين. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: الحج المبرور ليس له جزاء إلا الجنة، أو كما قال عليه السلام: صدق الله العظيم وبلغنا رسوله النبي. نحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. درس رسائل دروس شريف. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. أما بعد، respected elders and dear brothers, we are very close to the arrival of the month of Dhul-Qa'da, and there are 4 months in the whole in Islamic calendar that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to them, terminology in the Quran, and these 4 months are known as Ashhurul Hurum. Ashhurul Hurum, the 4 sacred months. The 4 sacred months, the months that Allah has spoken about in the Quran. And what are the 4 sacred months? The 4 sacred months are the month of Dhul-Qa'dah, Dhul-Hijjah, Muharram, and Rajab. The 3 months, Salasu Shahrin Mutawaliyatin. 3 months are consecutive, the other. And that is these 3 months of Dhul-Qa'dah, and Dhul-Hijjah, and Muharram. Now, these are called Ashhurul Hurum, the months of auspiciousness, sacredness, and the months in which all forms of bloodshed and killing is prohibited. The reason ulama explained that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared these 4 months to be Ashhurul Hurum is because it is in this period of time that people undertake the journey of Hajj. And as far as Rajab is concerned, in those times, this is the time when they used to go for Umrah. So when the people proceeded for Hajj or they proceeded for Umrah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted the road and the passage for the journey to be a peaceful one, and that they should not be attacked and they should not be killed, or they should not be caught in the crossfire of the war between other tribes. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made fighting prohibited in these months. They are auspicious months. Allama ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayhi, the great commentator of the Quran, also mentions regarding these 4 months that any good deed that is done in these 4 months is multiplied in reward greater than outside of these 4 months, and also any sin that is done is also greater in its prohibition and its retribution than outside of these months. Therefore, these great months are on our doorstep. Very soon, in a matter of a few days, we will be starting with the month of Dhul-Qa'dah, and then comes the month of Dhul-Hijjah, the month of Hajj, in which the actual acts of Hajj take place, and 2 great acts of Ibadah take place, the Ibadah of Hajj and the Ibadah of the Qurbani or the Udhiyah or the sacrifice of the animals take place in this month of Dhul-Hijjah. So we are now coming into a very auspicious period in our calendar. These 3 months are auspicious months, and it is a special period in our calendar, especially the days of Dhul-Hijjah. Those are very special days, and it is a kind of miniature Ramadan, because we fast in the days and we do ibadat in the nights, and it terminates or culminates with an Eid, like how Ramadan culminated with Eid ul-Fitr. This period culminates also with an Eid, and this is the Eid ul-Adha. So we are approaching this period, and it is a time that the Ummah should maximize these opportunities and occasions. We should intensify in good deeds, and we should make a concern from bad deeds, and we should increase in the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we should make a concerted effort on our spiritual upliftment and our purification of our souls and our hearts. Because to approach these special times of the year with a polluted heart deprives us of the blessings of these periods of time. If a person approaches Ramadan with a polluted heart, the Ramadan is spoiled. If a person approaches these months with a polluted heart, the benefit is lost. Therefore, together with our external acts of ibadah, we should make a concerted effort on the internal aspects, and we should be concerned about the spiritual side and the spiritual purification, because that is what counts very much in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we are now going to witness very soon, insha'Allah, the groups of Hujjaj departing, and all those ones whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and decreed that they will be the ones who will be performing the Hajj of this year. We will see them starting to depart in batches and groups. In some other countries already the Hujjaj have departed, and some of them have already reached the holy cities. And very soon from our country we will also see groups of Hujjaj departing. Obviously now it will be under the new dispensation of Hajj, the Nusuk system which is being put into place now for the first time for the Hujjaj of South Africa. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy and grant all the Hajjis a very smooth, wonderful and a accepted Hajj. Allah make it easy for them every step of the way of the Hajj. At least we should say Ameen, my dear brothers. We will get the sawab. Whatever happens for the Hajjis, we'll also get, we'll get inshallah included. Every single dua that we make for the Hajji, we also get included in the reward and the sawab of the Hajjis. So this great act of ibadah, this fifth pillar of Islam, is now going to be enacted in this period of time. We will see the Hajj being performed in this, especially the month of Dhul-Hijjah, the act of Qurbani for those who are not there in whichever part of the world, and then the Hujjaj, the act of Hajj plus the act of Qurbani will take place there in the Mashair al-Muqaddasa, Mina, Muzdalifa, Arafah, Makkah, and they will be going for the journey of a lifetime. Those who have already gone for Hajj, we should constantly make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, accept our Hajj, and if there was any shortcoming or deficiency, Ya Allah, fulfill that deficiency and remove that deficiency and give us the reward of that Hajj. And we should make an intention to go for another Hajj. Previously, in the older system, it may have been difficult because there was a queuing system. Now the rules have changed somewhat. Whether for good or for bad, I don't want to say that. We can decide. But the door has opened now. So we should try and do as many Hajj that is possible, because Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam encouraged his Ummah, تَابِعُوا بَيْنَ الْحَجِّ وَالْعُمْرَةِ. Follow up Hajj with Umrah, and follow up Umrah with Hajj. And it is known about the pious predecessors that they performed many, many Hajj in their lifetime. Every time they did Hajj, they did it with the intention that, Ya Allah, whatever shortcomings there were in our previous Hajj, we want to try and cover up in this Hajj. How many great, great personalities of Islam that they performed sometimes over 50 Hajj. Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, the great Imam of this Ummah, it is said that he performed 55 Hajj. Allahu Akbar. In our recent times, a very great spiritual personality, great person, great Sheikh and great Alim of our time, Hazrat Maulana Abdul Hafiz Makki rahmatullah alayhi, a senior Khalifa of Hazrat Sheikh al-Hadith Muhammad Zakaria rahmatullah alayhi, he performed 50 Hajj, over 50 Hajj. In fact, it is said about Hazrat Maulana Makki Sahib that from the day he became baligh till the year he passed away, he did not miss one Hajj, except the year when he was studying to be qualified as an alim in Saharanpur. That was the one year where he did not do Hajj. Otherwise, every single year of his life he performed Hajj. So, therefore, we should have the niyat and we should have the aspiration to do as many Hajj as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us. There is no cost in the intention. There's no amount to pay, or there's no wallet, e-wallet that you have to fill to make an intention. The intention is free. But, of course, it must be a sincere intention, and it must be a sincere desire that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take us again and again for Hajj Baytullah. Then how many times our labbaik has been written, that is the amount of times that we will go for Hajj. But from our side, the desire should be there, the niyat should be there. So those who have already performed their Hajj should have a desire to go for Hajj again. Beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned that the person who performs three Hajj in his lifetime, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make his body haram upon the fire. Any person whom Allah gave the opportunity of performing three Hajj, Allah made the fire haram upon his body. It is mentioned, Shaykh Zakariya rahmatullah alayhi, in the virtues of Hajj, he has mentioned this incident that a certain person, his enemies attacked him and they killed him, and they wanted to burn his body because to destroy the evidence, they tried everything to burn his body, but his body would never burn. And they were astonished that how could it be that we tried everything but his body would not burn. And then they discovered that this person had performed three Hajj in his lifetime. So not even the fire of this world could burn the body of that person. And what is meant is the fire of Jahannam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. So these are the rewards of doing multiple Hajj. And those who have not been able to do Hajj at all, they should make a very, very concerted effort and keep themselves prepared and ready, and keep all other priorities aside and make the Hajj the priority of their life. And for that they must do what is necessary in terms of saving and in terms of preparation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at our willingness, Allah ta'ala looks at our niyat, and then accordingly the invitation comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more willing we are, the more eagerness we have, the more desire we have, accordingly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens the doors up. And Hajj is not only for the elderly people. In the past, this was a kind of thinking and a mindset that when you reach a certain age, then you go for Hajj. Whilst you are young, you don't have to worry about Hajj, as if you are guaranteed that you're going to live to old age. But Hajj is for young and for old. Those who are old and didn't perform Hajj, then Allah make it easy for them, they can go as quickly as possible. But the young people should also be prepared and ready to go for Hajj. The real benefit of Hajj is in your youth. You have your vigor, you have your energy, you can do a lot of ibadah, you don't get tired, you don't get fatigued. Whereas when a person reaches a certain age, then it is quite a struggle to do Hajj after a certain age. Once you reach a certain age, it becomes quite a struggle, because Hajj after all is an ibadah of great exertion. And this is the unique thing about Hajj, that Hajj is a combination of bodily ibadah and financial ibadah. Fasting is the bodily ibadah. Zakah is a financial ibadah. Salah is a bodily ibadah. But Hajj is a combination of bodily ibadah as well as financial ibadah. And Hajj is a combination of a emotional ibadah and a rational ibadah. There is a combination here. Bodily and financial. And also rational and emotional. The Hajj has certain aspects that are rational. Like we would say, okay, we do this act, we do that act. But there are certain aspects of the Hajj that are emotional. It is a very emotional experience. A person now, what is called in Urdu, is referred to as diwangi, as a kind of madness in the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Hajj is a combination of an emotional and a rational ibadah. Hajj is a combination of a private and public form of ibadah. Hajj is a combination of a personal as well as a collective form of ibadah. Hajj is personal also. It's our personal experience, but it is a collective ibadah. Everybody is doing it at the same time. Millions of people are doing the same act at the same time, but also at the same time it's personal, because everyone's personal feelings, everyone's personal state and condition is different from the next person. It's such an amazing ibadah, and the Hajj is such an ibadah that it has combined in it certain important themes of the Hajj. One is it's an act of love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Haji goes out of love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he goes there to gain the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he displays the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's not questioning anything there. He's not questioning any of the aspects of Hajj. He's not asking, oh, why must I do this, and why must we do this, and why must we not do that? He is there to show his love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever he said that we have to do, we are going to do it. This is a display of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is also a display of the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, complete ita'at of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Haji does the ita'at and obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every step he's obeying and following. Don't do this, do that, don't do this. The do's and don'ts, he's following it meticulously. In ihram, you're not allowed to do this. In ihram, you're not allowed to do this. And now you must carry out this act. Now you must do that act. So he's following all of this, showing his, displaying his love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's displaying obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Hajj is a journey of Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the belief in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is a journey that displays the concern and fikr of akhirah and life after death. That is what the Hajj is all about. The Haji, at every step of his journey, is reminded of the journey of the akhirah. When he leaves from home, and some members of his family come to visit him at his house, but that is where they meet him, greet him, and then he goes to the airport, and a limited number of people port, and those are the close family and friends, and now they say farewell to him, and now he's going on his journey. and then he goes through all the stages of going through, you know, check-in and security and immigration. And all these are reminders of the journey of Akhirah. We also will have check-in there. We'll also have a transit lounge of the Akhirah. We also will have an immigration and customs of the Akhirah. This is a reminder. And then we will be in the Maidan of Arafah, and we will be wearing our two cloths, white cloths. It's a reminder of the kafan, and it's a reminder of standing on Yawmul Qiyamah, when all of mankind will be raised again. وَنُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ فَإِذَا هُمْ مِنَ الْأَجْدَاثِ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَنْسِلُونَ قَالُوا يَا وَيْلَنَا مَنْ بَعْثَنَا مِنْ مَرْقَدِنَا هَذَا مَا وَعَدَ الرَّحْمَانُ وَصَدَقَ الْمُرْسَلُونَ Day of Arafah is like the day of Qiyamah. Everyone is in a state of nafsi nafsi. Everyone is concerned about his own self. He's worried about his self now, whether his Hajj is going to be accepted or not, whether he did everything properly or not, whether he completed all what he's supposed to do or not, whether his Tawbah is accepted or not. So the Hajj, day of Arafah, is a reminder of day of Qiyamah. The Ihram is the reminder of the Kafan. The standing in Arafah is like standing on Yawmul Qiyamah. So these are the important aspects of the Hajj. And my dear brothers, in conclusion, to go and greet the Hujjaj before they depart is a great act of reward and thawab. We should try to meet the Hujjaj when they are departing. Give a dua to the Hajis. Our dua to the departing Haji is قَبِلَ اللَّهُ حَجَّكْ زَوَّدَكَ اللَّهُ التَّقْوَى وَوَجَّهَكَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ وَكَفَاكَ الْحَمْدِ This is the dua for the departing Haji. Then there is another dua for the arriving Haji. Just as it is an act of great reward to see the Hajis departing and to give them dua when they are leaving, like that it is also an act of reward to receive the returning Hajis and to give them the dua when they are returning. And we'll also get Zamzam and Khajur too, inshallah. But the idea is that these are acts of ibadah. To see the Haji off is an act of reward and thawab. And to give the dua, that the dua of the Haji, departing Haji, give the dua, Zawadakallahu taqwa. May Allah give you the provisions of taqwa on this journey, because Quran says, وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ زَادِ التَّقْوَى. We make dua for the Haji, may Allah grant you taqwa. And then we make dua for the Haji, that وَوَجَّهَكَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ May Allah direct you towards all good deeds and good actions in this journey of Hajj. And the third dua we make for the Haji, وَكَفَاكَ الْحَمْدِ May Allah take charge of all your worries and all your issues on this journey of Hajj. And we should give the Haji dua, if we can give them some hadiah, and gift also is a very good thing. In Cape Town and other places, mashallah, the Hajis, people go and visit the Haji, they must take an envelope and go and visit the Haji. It's not a thing that is compulsory or customary, but if we do it as a gift for the departing Hujjaj, they will remember that gift, they will appreciate that gift, and it is a gesture of goodwill to the Hujjaj. And most important is to try and give them advices also, and give them consolation and give them support, to say to them that don't worry, you are gone for Hajj, but I am here, I am your family, I am your relative, I am your neighbor, I am your friend, I will be here, I will take care of your family, I will take care of your children, I am going to be in and out of the house, don't worry, you go and do your Hajj, you just keep us in your duas and we will look after your family. This is the khidmat of the Hajis. And then the Hajis, Allahu Akbar, they are the ones that will make dua for the whole ummah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala selected them to be the delegation on behalf of the ummah. Ummah is in problems all over. The ummah needs a delegation to go and represent their matter at the headquarters of Islam, at the royal court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They need a delegation to go and represent. There are 2 billion Muslims around the world. They need a delegation of 1 million or 2 million Muslims. Small percent in comparison to the size of the Ummah that will go and put the representation and put the matter to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Hajju, Wafdullah, the Hajis, the Hujjaj, they are the delegations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Da'ahum, he has invited them and they accepted the invitation. So the Hajis are representing the Ummah. They will make dua and send them messages and reminders. Nowadays with technology it becomes so easy. Every day we can be in communication with the Hujjaj. Send them messages and reminders. Please make dua for so and so. Make dua for so and so. Make dua for the Ummah. Make dua for the people of Gaza. Make dua for the people of Sudan. Make dua for the people of Kashmir. Make dua for the Muslims of Lebanon. Make dua for the Muslims in every other part of the world that are being oppressed and that are being murdered and massacred. So the Hajis will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they will make dua on behalf of the whole Ummah. And the Ummah is making dua on behalf of the Hajis. Allahumma aghfir lil Hajj wa liman istaghfara lahu al Hajj. It was the dua of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for the Hujjaj. He said, O Allah, forgive the Haji and whomsoever the Haji seeks for forgiveness, Allah forgive that person too. Now the Ummah is making dua for the Hajis. So dua of the Ummah is accepted for the Haji. Haji is making dua for the Ummah. The dua of the Haji is accepted. So it's a win-win situation now, mashallah. What a wonderful time we are going to be entering. What an exciting period when the Hajis are there. We know they are making dua for them. They know we are making dua for them. They know we know they are making dua for us. Both sides are engaged in dua for each other. We're making dua for them. Allahumma zuq jamia al-hujjaj hajja mabrura wa saya mashkura wa dhanba maghfura wa tijarata lan tabur. Ya alima ma fi sudur akhrijna ya Allah min al-zulumati ila al-nur. We are making special duas for the hajis. Allah grant them hajj mabrur. Allah accept their hajj. Allah forgive their sins. Allah accept their duas. Hajis are making dua on that side. What a wonderful time it is. What an exciting period it is. What a spiritual time it is for this Ummah as we entering these months. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for the Hujjaj. Make it easy, grant them all to go nicely, accept them. And we make dua for them and they will make dua for us. And we should make dua for each other. We should be making dua for our own country. We should stability and safety in our country. Conditions are going bad around the world. There is a lot of uncertainty. There is a lot of fear. There is a lot of concerns. There are prices are going up, inflation and shortages, and all these things are happening. We are going through, we are entering a very, very critical time. We are entering a very precarious time. We are entering a time of grave, events that are unfolding in front of our eyes now. And we should be engaged in a lot of dua. And we should be making a lot of zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we should be making fikr along with the zikr. Because the times that we are entering, the times that are coming, are not going to be easy. May Allah protect us all and make it easy for us. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.